Start the series. The scriptures are in your notes this morning. I will not be referring to them, but I trust you can make the connection as we go through. Have you ever noticed that words have incredible power? Simple words. Some words can make you laugh. Some words make you cry. Others can carry enormous weight of knowledge. Some words make you want to run for cover. Such is our word for today. I'm speaking of the word accountable. Webster, in his dictionary, defines the word accountable as liable to be called to account, answerable to a superior, as every man is accountable to God for his conduct. That's actually in Webster's dictionary. Join me in prayer before we begin this study. Lord, as we look at this word that can send shivers up and down our spine, a nervous knot in our stomach, and cause our brain to do backward cartwheels, Lord, we pray that somehow your Spirit will calm us today and open us up so that we can hear what your Spirit is saying to the churches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 year ago, a group of top executives were the talk of the town because of their phenomenal, almost unbelievable financial success. Today, they're still the talk of the town, but for very different reasons. Last year, everybody wanted to be their friend. This year, nobody wants to be associated with them. Today, most people are careful to establish a very clear distance between themselves and these people. I'm speaking of the leaders of the Enron Oil Company, the largest corporate collapse in United States history. Last year, Enron was the seventh largest corporation in the United States, 16th largest corporation in the entire world. Its sales were over $40 billion annually. Today, 1 year later, the company is bankrupt. Last year, the company executives were filthy rich. Today, they're just filthy. Ken Lay quit as Enron CEO on January 23rd of this year. 2 days later, in an apparent suicide, former Enron vice chairman J. Clifford Baxter was found dead in his car. Last year, Arthur Anderson was a highly esteemed and trusted accounting firm. They proclaimed Enron's accounts were good, even though Enron was hiding billions of dollars in debt so that it could look more profitable. Today, Arthur Anderson is struggling to survive because of its part in the Enron scam. Now, what happened to Enron and to Arthur Anderson is of deep concern to God, because a similar thing is happening today in many, many companies. And it's not just in Enron. Enron was just the one that got caught. Similar actions have been happening throughout history in every culture, in companies, in schools, in governments, in religious institutions, in families, and in individual relationships. As a matter of fact, a similar thing might be happening in your life right now. And God is wanting to give you advance warning so that you don't self-destruct. In Isaiah 22, 15 to 19, we read a letter, a personalized letter that could have been written directly to the Enron executives. Listen to these words. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Go to this steward. By the way, a steward is one who is trusted to manage another's personal belongings. Go say to this steward, who is in charge of the palace, what are you doing here, and who gave you permission to cut out a grave for yourself here, hewing your grave on the height and chiseling your resting rock, your resting place in the rock? But this really means, who gave you right to make a name for yourself? Beware, the Lord is about to take firm hold of you and hurl you away, O mighty man. He will roll you up tightly like a ball and throw you into a large country. There you will die. And there your splendid chariots will remain, you disgrace to your master's house. I will depose you from your office, and you will be ousted from your position. Like the Enron leaders who were fraudulent and immoral in their actions, and their actions were eventually found out, this palace steward was also fired, charged, and sentenced by God himself. Now, thousands of employees and investors who lost big time as a result of Enron's scandal are demanding justice. They want those executives and those accountants held accountable for their awful actions. You want accountability too, don't you? Good morning. You want accountability too, don't you? Do you? Do you? Think about it. You see, if you're like most people, we think accountability is a wonderful idea for them, for others, but not for us. You see, deep down, if we're honest, we resist the concept and the idea of accountability. From deep within comes a fight against accountability. And that resistance, if you're ever wondering where it comes from, goes way, 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 way back in history. Do you remember Satan's enticement of Adam and Eve, our first parents in the Garden of Eden? Satan basically convinced them that life would be much better for them if they would just come out from under God's authority. It would be better for them, it would be to their advantage if they would resist accountability to the Almighty. It would be better for them if they pretended it didn't matter. Well, they could have superior knowledge. They could be like gods, not needing anybody over them. It was a very seductive promise. It was deadly deceit. Like our first parents, we also resist having to report to anyone. We want to call our own shots. We want to chart our own course. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to have to worry about letting anybody else know. Children sneak into hidden places to cover their secrets. Teenagers want their parents off their back. Spouses do not want their partners prying into their activity. Financial dealings and accounts are locked away from view. And what in the world would anybody else want to know about our time? Why does it matter to them? It's our time. It's on our own time. And if I dare say so, sometimes those of us in full-time ministry are the worst culprits. Because we have God on our side, or so we think we are untouchable. We think we are beyond question. Surely we must be right because God told us. Oh, how often that is thrown around. God told me. Dear friends, if you examine history, if you examine even recent history, you will see that every time there has been a moral failure, a moral collapse, stagnant growth, or fruitlessness in ministry, you can find much of that growing out of the root of unaccountability. Socrates wisely observed, "The unexamined life is not worth living." It's not just not nice, it's not worth living. Without accountability, every single one of us will sink and stink. God would agree. In Jeremiah 6:15 and 8:12, he asked, "Are they not ashamed of their loathsome conduct?" No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. Alfred Whitehead said, "Apart from blunt truth, our lives sink decadently amid the perfume of hints and suggestions." Now, we do not like being accountable to God. We do not like being accountable to each other. And as a result, we have a built-in resistance and hesitance to holding other people accountable as well. In the 20th chapter of his book, the prophet Ezekiel told of his struggle in this regard. He says, "In the 7th year, in the 5th month, on the 10th day, some of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord, and they sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Have you come to inquire of me? As surely as I live, I will not let you inquire of me, declares the sovereign Lord.'" Now, I have a strong sense there was a long pause between verse 3 and 4. Perhaps Ezekiel was really wrestling with what God was asking him to do, because verse 4 says, God addresses Ezekiel, and he says, "Will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man? Then confront them with the detestable practices of their forefathers." It's like God is saying, "Ezekiel, I am holding you accountable to hold them accountable. Do it." Now, our flesh crawls with the discomfort from this. How many of you love walking up to somebody and confronting them with their failure? Now, some of you really like that. You think that's your spiritual gift. But I mean, really, does it really bring great pleasure? It's difficult. This isn't nice. It isn't polite. It's not politically correct. We fight against accountability for ourselves and for others. But as soon as we stop long enough to think about it, we all know that accountability is not just a concept, a philosophical idea. It's a fact. It is built into the fabric of life. There's just no way of getting around it. Even if people have slipped by human justice completely unnoticed, they do so only to enter the front door of God's great courtroom. Romans 14, 11 and 12 declares, "It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Bottom line. Matthew 12, 36 and 37, Jesus declared, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Through the prophet Micah, God asks, "Am I still to forget, O wicked house, your ill-gotten treasures, and the short ephah which is accursed? Shall I acquit a man with dishonest scales, with a bag of false weights? Should I let him go?" Through Jeremiah, God asks, "O remnant on the plain, how long will you cut yourselves? Ah, sword of the Lord, you cry, how long till you rest? Return to your scabbard, cease and be still. But how can it rest when the Lord has commanded it, when He has ordered it to attack Ashkelon and the coast?" God is saying, you can try all you want, you can cry all you want, you can even pray before me, but it's not going to change a thing because it's time for accountability. It's time. The sword is not going to be put back in its scabbard until it's done its work. Through Ezekiel, God says, "Since you eat meat with the blood still in it and look to your idols and shed blood, should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword, you do detestable things, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? Give me a break," God says. "Do you really think you're going to get away with this? Do you really think I'm going to allow to be blessed what I've already cursed?" It doesn't work that way. Accountability is an unchangeable fact. It may happen sooner, or it may happen later, but it will happen. You're no doubt wondering about the results. What is the fruit of accountability? Well, like any courtroom, there are happy and sad verdicts, good and bad fruit. Notice first the negative fruit of accountability. When we resist or deny accountability, all of our gains in life eventually turn into losses. Please hear that. When we deny or resist accountability, all of our apparent gains in life eventually turn into losses. Through Jeremiah, God asked about Egypt's reigning Pharaoh. Now, wouldn't you have loved to have been one of the Pharaohs? Well, maybe not. Nevertheless, this is what God says to Jeremiah. "Who is this that rises like the Nile, like rivers of surging waters? Egypt rises like the Nile. She says, 'I will rise and cover the earth. I will destroy cities and their people.' But that day belongs to the Lord Almighty, a day of vengeance, for vengeance on his foes. Why will your warriors be laid low? They cannot stand, for the Lord will push them down. They will stumble repeatedly. They will fall over each other. They will say, 'Get up, let us go back to our own people and our native lands, away from the sword of the oppressor.' There they will exclaim, there, back in their homeland, they will exclaim, 'Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is only a loud noise. He has missed his opportunity.'" Pharaoh, of ancient Pharaoh, is exactly like today's Ken Lay. Pompous priest of a high kingdom, but only a loud noise who has missed his opportunity. Can your name be just as easily inserted into that sentence? Will your life someday be only a loud noise, empty of any lasting significance? If you remain unaccountable, dear friends, or perceive yourself to be beyond accountability, that is exactly what will happen. Secular studies in many factories and workplaces reveal that employees, all employees, work much harder, much better, and are far more productive when they know they're being observed, when they know they're being watched, when they know they will be held accountable. Whenever we deeply understand the consequences of our actions, it becomes much easier to control our behavior. But whenever we are away from accountability, we slide. Even Christians, even Holy Spirit-filled Christians, we slide. On the positive side, those who are accountable, those who are under someone else and accept it, they can be mentored. They can be guided. They can be moved and grown to excel in any and every area of life. That's how God designed us. In his excellent book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, John Maxwell points out how the development and mentoring of half of all of the head coaches in the National Football League in the United States can be traced, all of them, the successful ones, can be traced to two football leaders, Bill Walsh and Tom Landry. Just about every head coach in the entire NFL has spent time learning from and being accountable to another strong leader. Jack Welch has done a similar thing in the business arena, leading General Electric to be one of the best-run companies in the world. The reason GE companies have skyrocketed in success and vaulted in value is not because they took the route of Enron. No. It's because of their high commitment to developing people and to holding them accountable. GE spends more than $500 million annually on developing its own leaders. It pours money into them, holds them accountable, builds them. They do this at their institute in Crotonville. It's often called the Harvard of corporate America. As a result, they have produced some of the finest business leaders on the planet, including CEOs of General Dynamics, Allied Signal, Rubbermaid, Goodyear, Owens Corning, Media One, Equifax, Wang, McDonnell Douglas, and American Express. These guys have all grown out of the leadership training of General Electric under the headship of Jack Welch. Why? A commitment to building people, a commitment to holding them accountable, a commitment to building those things into their lives. These guys were under authority. These guys were under the supervision of somebody else. And it didn't put them down, it lifted them up. It caused them to grow. It caused them to maximize. And what is true for football and business is more than true in our lives, in every area. It's true in marriage. How many marriages are trying to go it alone? You're running headlong into problems, but will you seek advice? Not in your life. You wouldn't think of going to seek help. You'd rather die. You'd rather self-destruct. Oh, my friends, is it worth it? What's true in marriage is true in raising of children. It's true in our personal finances. It's true in every area of life. It's true in our personal integrity. It's true in spiritual growth. It's not going to happen just because you want it to, just because you pray about it. Unless we are accountable, we will never reach our full potential. Never. It's hard, though. I remember I was a pastor for about 2 years. And I had some affirmation on my preaching. And I started to develop these ideas of, wow, wouldn't it be nice to be one of those famous preachers? I'd look in Christian magazines and see the pictures of guys who were speaking at this conference and that conference. And I thought, ooh, that would be fun. Have my name up there, picture. Anybody wrestle with things like that? Or am I the only guy? Please don't tell me I'm the only guy on the planet. So I was going home back to Regina for vacation one summer. So I wrote ahead to our pastor at the church and let him know that I was going to be in town and hinted that I would be available for pulpit supply if he needed me. I really wanted to preach in my home church. I mean, that was the place that I grew up as the little devil. Everybody knew me as the trash. Everybody knew me as the kid who would never make it. And I was a pastor. I was preaching. I was being affirmed. I wanted to go home and really wow them. Hey, look what God has done. Right, yeah. My pastor never wrote me back. I thought maybe it got lost in the mail, so I sent a second letter. I never got a response. I got home that year for vacation. I was home a couple of days, and Pastor Sipley called me and asked me out for lunch. Oh, good. You know, I respected the man, admired him. He took me out for lunch. We had a great talk. About halfway through, he said, Dave, can I be honest with you? And I said, well, of course you can be honest. He says, I got your letters. Plural. So you're probably wondering why I never responded. And I said, yeah, I kind of was. And he said, well, can I be really honest with you? He asked me again. And I said, please do. And he said, well, Dave, I detected a real streak of pride in your letter. Bleed all over the table. How do you recover? I said, yeah. He said, that's all he said. And then he said, Dave, can I give you some advice? I said, please do. He said, Dave, you concentrate on taking your ministry deep. Let God look after taking your ministry broad. I will never forget his words. They hurt like a knife cutting me in two. But they went down and they pulled out a root that could have destroyed me. I thank God for that man who loved me enough to speak truth into my life. And I thank God that even though I hated every minute of it, he gave me the grace to accept the wisdom of counsel. Do you want to be all that you can be? All that you can be? Or do you want to slide into mediocrity and ultimately into failure? Dear friends, God has designed us as accountable creatures. And it is only as we place ourselves in accountability structures, it is only as we place ourselves in accountable relationships, that we will succeed to our maximum in this life and the next. Don't wait for somebody to speak into your life. Look for it. Ask for it. Pursue it. Over and over again in the scriptures, it says it is the wise man who receives counsel. One says it is the wise man who seeks counsel. He looks for it. While the fool, on the other hand, is the one who says, don't say anything to me. It's the fool who rejects reproof. It's the fool who scorns input. It's the wise man who seeks it. Get involved in a cell group if you're not yet involved. Let people into your life. Let them get under your skin. Let them find out who you are. Don't wait for it to happen. Pursue it. Make it a priority in your life. In his book, The Bride, Chuck Swindoll tells of a pastor who met once a week with a small group of men. They are committed to one another's purity. They pray with and for each other. They talk openly and honestly about their struggles, weaknesses, temptations, and trials. In addition to these general things, they look one another in the eye every week and ask no less than 7 specific questions. Number 1, have you been with a woman this week in such a way that was inappropriate or could have looked to others that you were using poor judgment? Number 2, have you been completely above reproach in all your financial dealings this week? Number 3, have you exposed yourself to any explicit material this week? Number 4, have you spent time daily in prayer and in the scriptures this week? Number 5, have you fulfilled the mandate of your calling this week? Number 6, have you taken time off to be with your family this week? Number 7, have you just lied to me? Dear Dear friends, if that kind of straight-shooting honesty would make you uncomfortable, then you are exactly the kind of person who needs it. Because sooner or later, you will have to answer questions like this and other ones that are more specifically tailored to you. Why not learn to do it now before the damage is done? Why not do it now when you can enjoy the positive and beneficial growth that comes from healthy accountability? If you, like Enron, inflate your profits by hiding your debts, then you will also be like Enron and collapse. You can get honest now, or you can get honest later. But sooner or later, you and I will be held accountable. Today you have a choice to be accountable. There's coming a day when that choice will no longer be yours. Please join me in prayer. Father, this word strikes both terror and hope into our hearts. Please, by your Spirit, help us not to run away from accountability because of the fear. Help us embrace it and enjoy life. In Jesus' name we pray.